So now it is my pleasure to welcome our speaker who's actually been a member here for 30 years. That is all her life. I taught her in Sunday school, and over the last 10 years or so, I've had the privilege of being her father-in-law. And she's done a good job of taking care of our son, I can tell you. And she needed to, but she's done really well. But I've had the opportunity to watch her, to live closely with her because of that, and I can see and really appreciate her as a grounded, vibrant woman of God. And so, Anna, I invite you to... you're still sorting them out, are you? Yeah. Fair enough. Come on up. Yeah.
Thank you. Got it, Aaron. Thanks, Ella. Awesome. Cool. Wow, what an introduction. Yes, Bruce is right, although it's actually 31 years that I've been a member here, which almost 32, actually. Well, good morning, everyone. It's an honour to be speaking to you all this morning. My name's Anna, and I'm married to Aaron, and I'm mum of three beautiful little ones, Levi, Luke, and Hannah. And as Bruce already stole one of my introductory points, I've been part of this church family since I was born, which is pretty cool. So this morning, I would like to talk to you all about slowing down, about living a life that's different to the way the world tells us that we should live. Has anyone ever had what feels like a perfect day? Hopefully we all have. My most recent perfect day would have to be in April in Pawanui in the Coromandel. It was Aaron and I's 10th wedding anniversary, so Aaron organised a special holiday for the family at one of our most special places in New Zealand. The day was spent having coffee at the beach, watching the children play with their grandparents and each other. Yes, that's right, we brought grandparents on our holiday. It was an excellent idea. We relaxed, we exchanged presents and cards, we reminisced some of the times that we've shared over the years, and in the evening we enjoyed a dinner out without the children. What a treat, am I right? Days like this just fill up your soul in such a way that makes it almost impossible not to feel grateful and closer to God. So what if we could have perfect days far more often? What if we could build a life that allows space for things that bring us and God joy? What if we could slow down to a pace that instantly makes us different from the world around us? What if we could train our soul into a default position of peace? How different would our life be? For most of us, we don't neglect spending time with God because we aren't interested. There's quite simply too much other noise competing for our attention, and God often gets lost amongst it. An unhurried life offers us the peace and the rest that our souls were designed for. An unhurried life in Christ is simple, slow, and full of peace. Today's culture values fast-paced living, accumulation of things, and often results in anxious lives with no hope. We need to cultivate lives centered around simplicity so that we can create room for being with God and his people. In March 2020, all of New Zealand went into lockdown. The news was unnerving and unlike anything we've all experienced before in our lifetime. The general response from myself and people that I know, who are mostly parents with young kids, was worry and anxiety around how we would cope with our children trapped at home, not being able to go to any of our usual activities. I was concerned that I would come out of this time stressed out and in great need of a break. As it turned out, the weeks that followed actually became the break that many of us didn't realise we needed. Being forced to cancel everything that was on the calendar felt almost like a relief. And only having each other, the outdoors, and our imaginations ended up being such a special time for our family. This incredibly simple time filled with walks in nature, the boys playing with sticks, and spending time outside in our garden truly felt like a rest for the soul. And although this was an extreme circumstance, we were offered a small sample of how an unhurried life could look. It got me thinking, how can we capture more of what was incredible about this time and implement it into our day-to-day lives? We don't need to be at the mercy of a global pandemic to cause us to slow down. We can do this, and we can begin today. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus tells us to, might come up on the screen as well, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It seems to me that if we follow the script for modern living, we will in fact end up weary and burdened, not the life I'm sure any of us are striving for. I have found that by building my life around practices, routines, and rhythms, I am able to meet with God in many ways throughout my day. And I believe I am continually training my body, mind, and soul to become more Christ-like. If we want to dedicate our lives to God, our whole lives, not just part of them, then it matters what we do, it matters what we think, it matters what we watch, and what we say. Recently, we, the McKevitt family, have moved into a new house. This process is a huge one, as anyone who has ever moved knows. So much goes into it in the months leading up to moving day, packing up each room, labelling all your boxes as clearly as possible, putting things into storage, all while dreaming and thinking about the new home and how everything will fit into the place, where it will go, and how best to organise your life once you finally get there. It's definitely a journey. While we were going through this process, I began to ponder how we organise our possessions. We put our heavy use items in high traffic areas of the house so that we can reach for them easily and quickly without having to be inconvenienced too much. Cooking dinner in my house is crazy o'clock. Any other mums out there feel the same? When I set up to begin cooking for the night, it's usually no less than about 5 minutes before I have at least one child crying, pulling themselves up on my legs, or asking me for a snack because they're so hungry. After a wee bit of experience with this dinner hour now, I always make sure that before I set up to begin cooking, I always get out some easy snacks so that I have them right there within reach. And while I'm cooking, I can just distract the children with something to keep to finish off the job. Believe it or not, I believe this has a little something to say about our life in Christ. When we're going through times that feel like survival mode, we will likely reach for whatever practices we have established in our lives during the good times. When we build in practices that give space for us to draw nearer to God and be with him throughout our days, the Bible promises us that we will bear fruit. If we deliberately cultivate a life that is centered around Christ in every aspect, we will see ourselves being transformed. When we implement a new practice in our life, it takes some getting used to, and there's always a little adjustment period. Since moving into the new house, there's been several times where Aaron or I will ask, "Where's this been put?" or "Where does this live now?" as we get used to the way things are organized now. However, I imagine that if we persevere, it won't be long before these things become second nature and we won't even have to think about them anymore. So too, we want our key spiritual practices to be constantly available to us wherever we're at. So what are some of these practices that I'm alluding to? A huge one that is very countercultural is slowness. The practice of slowing down our lives to the pace of Jesus is one that I recently heard about from a pastor and author called John Mark Comer. He's written a book and a study series called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which a home group that I'm part of has been studying for the last few months. Now, we're all mums of preschoolers, so the idea of living an unhurried life seemed quite out of reach for a lot of us. How on earth are we supposed to slow our lives down when we're constantly running late, trying to get multiple children into their shoes and socks and out of the house? But the practice of slowing down is about cultivating a mindset shift towards God and away from the things of the world which tell us to hurry and do more. God created us as human beings with a mind, body, and soul, with each part affecting the others. Consequently, if we are consciously slowing our body and our mind, our soul will also follow. In this series, John Mark gives a bunch of practical ways we can train ourselves into slowing. And one of them, surprisingly, is focused around our smartphones and smartphone usage. The constant dinging, notifications, messages, emails, checking, scrolling, and absolutely unmonitored access to anything we want to find is pretty exhausting, to say the least. John Mark suggests the idea of parenting your phone. I know, strange idea. Like you would with a child, by setting strict limits on usage, the time that it gets up in the morning and the time that you put it to bed at night. I've been conducting this as just a little bit of an experiment in my own life for the last couple of weeks since I learned about the idea. And let me tell you, it has made a huge difference. I've noticed that my mind has become more still and peaceful, particularly when I have lots on my plate and I tend towards getting overwhelmed. I've noticed an increase in my ability to focus on tasks without constant interruption from my phone, as well as many moments of stillness when I choose not to reach for it just to check something quickly. This is just a small example, but if we want to be tuned in to God throughout our days, we must be free from the many distractions which seek to keep us busy and hold our attention. In John 15, verse 4, we read, "Remain in me." Some versions say dwell, others say abide. "As I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." The definition of remain is continue to exist, especially after other similar people or things have ceased to do so. Remaining in God is a practice that we can learn, and with perseverance, it will lead us toward a life of closeness with him. Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 22 to 25. It's also going to be on the screen, I think. Yep. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." How does a tree produce fruit? There are many things that a tree relies on in order to grow, thrive, and eventually produce fruit. I'm not a huge gardener, but I do know the basics. I know they need to receive enough sunlight and water, and that the soil needs to be healthy and rich in nutrients for plants to thrive. So it is with us. In order to cultivate and grow the fruits of the Spirit in our life, we must be feeding our souls with the right things. The little things we do over and over again with deliberate intention matter greatly. Proverbs 4, verse 23 tells us to guard our heart with all diligence, for from it flow springs of life. Personally, I take this very seriously and aim to apply it to all areas of my life. This means that I choose to trust in God rather than getting swept up in anxiety around how I raise my children. It means that I choose to think kindly about myself and the way I look rather than doing self-loathing and comparisons. It also means that I choose to think the best of my husband rather than letting small irritations build up and become large resentments over time. The fruits come from the tree. So what is our tree planted in? First, and above all else, we need to be planted in God. This means that we read his word, pray and speak to him, and implement practices in our lives that bring us closer, bring us into closer communion with him. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." This psalm talks about a blessed person whose roots are planted by streams of water. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they yield fruit. The picture this psalm offers is, I believe, an image of the sort of person we can become when we seek after an unhurried life with God. Living a life that is unhurried can sometimes feel impossible in our fast-paced world. But God calls us to love others and love him. And what better way to do that than to simplify our lives in order to have room and capacity for the interruptions of life? When we are at rest in our soul and have structured our life without a million obligations and activities, we're more able to live like Jesus by being present with him and his people. So this morning we've talked about living an unhurried life, being counter to the culture that we live in, which tells us to hurry, achieve, and accumulate. I've shared about building practices into our lives that help us to slow down, with the ultimate goal of centering our life more around God. The analogy of setting up a new house and placing our things in it strategically helps to illustrate the idea that we can structure our lives to serve us well, so that in times of stress or overwhelm, we will reach for the practices we have implemented purposefully. And we've also looked at the fruits of the Spirit and how, just like a healthy tree, we need to be planted in good soil, and filling our minds and souls with truth and right thinking in order to grow and thrive. So to close, I would like to invite us all to consider three things. Firstly, has your house been unpacked yet, or is it still filled with boxes? In order to become unhurried, we must first deal with our stuff, the stuff in our lives. And if we haven't, this is a great place to begin. Secondly, consider an area of your life in which you could simplify or become less hurried. What can you cut out in order to allow more space for time spent with God or investing in others? And thirdly, what is one practice that you could implement today in order to commune with God more throughout your days? Let's pray to finish. Father God, I pray for all of us here today. Lord, I ask that you would show us the areas of our lives that we can make less hurried. God, would you give us discernment as we consider how we can best follow Jesus' example of a life lived for you? Amen.